This evening, as a congregation, as family, as friends, we have a joyful occasion, that in witnessing the confession of faith of two young men, Joel and Ryan. So at this time, I ask both of you to arise. Now you make public your confession that you made, that good confession that you made before the elders, now before this body, this church, by answering these three questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and taught here in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? Secondly, have you resolved by the grace of God to adhere to this doctrine, to reject all heresies repugnant thereto, and to lead a new godly life? And third, will you submit to church government? And in case you should become delinquent, which may God graciously forbid, to church discipline. Joel, what is your answer? Ryan, what is your answer? It is indeed a joyful occasion for everyone gathered here. Your parents, of course, most obviously, as they have the pleasure of seeing you, their sons, stand before this congregation and confess the faith that they have imparted to you, and see you laying hold of that faith now as your own, as young men, and declaring it before this body, you believe. Joyful for this church, too, to see two of her sons, in whom God has been working, God who has brought you now to this point of maturity in your faith, so that you stand before this gathered congregation and say, I believe. Joyful for you too. It's a big step in the Christian life. This is a significant moment. It's a beginning, it's not the end, but it is significant nonetheless. You believe. And what joy there is in that. You know Christ. You know his salvation. You confess it before this body. And so on this joyful occasion, two thoughts for you. First place, understand that, as you know, Christian life gets harder from this point out. The devil will seek all the more to destroy you, to undermine your faith, because he sees you as soldiers marching in the army of the Lord. You have stood up now and publicly identified yourself with the captain of your salvation. Be watchful, be on your guard. But in so doing, be strong and courageous, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord you've confessed. It's not of your strength. You lean on him. And that gets to the sermon tonight. Trust in him. You can't do it of yourselves. But in Jesus, you can do all things. So be strong and courageous. Live out the faith that you have confessed. Trust in your Lord. And know that your church and family gathers around you as we together walk this pilgrim journey. You may be seated. Thanks to God in prayer. Most merciful God and Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks. We give Thee thanks for the faith that Thou hast given to us, which Thou hast authored in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Faith, that most precious of all gifts. Faith, which unites us to Thy Son, Jesus Christ, through which thou dost communicate to us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Faith, by which we lay hold upon our Lord in trust. Faith, by which we know thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Father, we give thee our most hearty thanks as believers, as a congregation, for the good confession of faith that we have heard tonight from two sons of the congregation. We thank thee for the work that thou hast wrought in their hearts from childhood upward, as they have been taught in our most holy faith, as they have been raised under the instruction of godly parents, as they have worshipped in the church and been brought under the instruction of thy people, And now with joy they stand before this congregation as young men, confessing the faith that thou hast placed in their hearts. Thus, Father, we pray thy rich blessing upon Joel and upon Ryan as they go forward down life's pathway. Whatever direction thou wilt lead them, may they stand fast in the faith which they have confessed. And may that living faith grow more and more as they go through life, so that they cleave all the more to thy Son Jesus Christ in knowledge and in trust, that they may grow up into their head, Jesus Christ, and that they may take up their place which thou hast ordained for them in the body, using their gifts which thou hast given them for the upbuilding of thy people. Father, we thank thee for our salvation, that common salvation that we all who are thy children share. What a great blessing it is. We cannot find the words to describe it. We cannot find words adequate to thank thee and praise thee for it. We, who of ourselves deserve to be cast away into the outer darkness for our sins, we who of ourselves can do no good, we who have alienated ourselves from thee, thou hast drawn us nigh. Thou hast given us an eternal inheritance with thee in heavenly life through Jesus Christ and his work. We thank thee for his cross, for his shed blood, whereby we have obtained the complete remission of all of our sins, on account of which we are clothed with his perfect righteousness, and on the basis of which we now have a right to everlasting life. Heavenly Father, as thy church, who are knit together in love, thy church, the body of Christ, we pray thou wilt build us up. As we have seen two of our members confess their faith, may we all, as believers, be renewed in our confession and in our vows to confess the truth in the world, to hold it fast, to henceforth live a new and godly life, to submit ourselves to the government and good instruction of the church, through which means Christ himself teaches and admonishes us, his people. Lord God, we pray that not only our congregation, but the whole congregation of thy elect, the whole holy Catholic Church, would receive this same blessing of thine. Build up that spiritual house which thou hast conceived of before the foundation of the world, and use the means of the preaching of the gospel to gather thy people, that each spiritual stone might be set in its place, that the body, the house, may be built, the day of our Lord Jesus coming on the clouds of glory may be brought nigh. We lift up before thee the needs of thy universal church. We pray that thou wilt be with every faithful Christian and every faithful church and every faithful minister in the diverse circumstances in which they live and go about their Christian lives. May they be shining lights in a dark world. We pray that thou wilt protect thy church from the wiles of the devil, that thou wilt protect thy church from the raging of the heathen world and the ungodly, and that even when thou dost lead us through persecution, may we be for the glory and honor of thy name as we endure those things, as we suffer for Christ's sake, knowing that that in itself is a great privilege. For we who know Christ by faith, it's given to us not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Strengthen us, Father, for whatever sufferings we may have to endure, for the sake of our Lord. May we render ourselves up willingly, as he did for us. We pray, Father, for the churches then who are under the cross, our brothers and sisters in lands where their confession of the Lord Jesus may require their blood. May their testimony serve for the advancement of thy kingdom. May even their martyrdom serve for the destruction of the devil's kingdom. We confess that thou art Almighty God, thou dost reign, thou dost do all things well, and even the wrath of man, the wiles of the devil, must praise thee and serve the good of thy people. Father, that the work of the church may go forward, we earnestly beseech thee that thou wilt provide laborers for the brimming field of the harvest. Laborers for the local churches, laborers for the mission field. We ask that thou wilt work in the hearts of young men to take up that path of study, to seek the ministry of the gospel, that we may have laborers sufficient for the work. Father, we pray that thou wilt use that preaching to bring thy kingdom. Grant that Christ come quickly, that he may bring with him judgment and righteousness, that he might bring about the final consummation of all things, when all of the church's enemies shall forever be cast away, when death shall be put to death, when sin shall be no more, when tears shall be wiped away, when sorrow shall be banished, when pain shall no longer be felt, and we, together with the whole assembly of thy people, are brought into the mansion that Christ has prepared for us. Hasten that day, Father, and grant us the patience to look for it, to put our hope upon it. May that hope be the anchor of our souls. These are petitions, Father, we lay before thee in the confidence that thou wilt hear and answer us. Now glorify thyself in this prayer and in all of our worship. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our scripture reading is Proverbs chapter 3. We take for our text verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. And we will read the entire chapter. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Again, our text is verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How is a young man to direct his path in the world, or for that matter, how is any man or any woman to direct his or her path in the world? The wisdom of the world has many answers to that question. And there is an endless supply of books of wisdom, of self-help manuals, and all of the rest that purport to have the answers. God, in his wisdom, has provided us a book of instruction, a book of wisdom, a book of practical instruction designed especially for the young in the church. That book is the book of Proverbs. The inspired writer, as we've seen in the passage that we have read, over and over says, "My son," and that is whom he addresses. That is whom he directs his instruction, his son, a young man who is coming into adulthood, who has come to a degree of maturity in faith. And now as that young man is going out into the world, Solomon wants to put his feet on the right path. And he wants to impart to his son more than knowledge, because a mind that is filled with knowledge but lacks discretion is more harmful than an empty mind. Solomon is interested in imparting to his son wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom which is the proper application of true knowledge to the diverse circumstances of life. That is what Solomon is interested in for his son. As his son looks to the future, looks to life's pathway that is spread out before him. Thus, this well-known chapter and this well-known text is an especially appropriate text for an occasion such as this. For you two young men, for all the young here gathered, and for all of us here gathered. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, the inspired writer develops the very beautiful picture of a pathway, and he uses it to describe the entire course of our lives in this world. Each of us are on a path. We're at different points on that path, whether we be young or old, but we are all on a path. And that path, life's pathway, it is not a smooth, straight highway, but is much more like a treacherous mountain trail. There are many twists and turns in this pathway. There are many narrow passes, many deep gorges and valleys, many rocky patches along the way, and unforeseen obstacles that wait around those twists and turns. And that's our experience of this earthly life, is it not? It is an earthly life that is full of hardship. From a physical perspective, the hardships of disappointments, of losses, of sorrows, of sufferings, and so many more. From a spiritual perspective, the temptations, the constant battle against sin, and so many more. Jesus says, "Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life." You men are on that straight and narrow way. You are advancing on that straight and narrow way by God's grace. But you need encouragement now as you go forward down life's pathway. And this text gives you what we might say one of the most important pieces of wisdom for life's pathway. And it's quite simple. Simple doesn't mean easy, but it's simple. trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That is the wisdom for life's pathway. As you navigate all that is ahead of you, you can't see it now. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But what can we do now? Trust. Trust in God. And so we consider this wisdom, this proverb, under the theme, wholeheartedly trusting in Jehovah in life's pathway. Notice in the first place the call to wholehearted trust. Secondly, the reasons for wholehearted trust. And finally, the comfort in wholehearted trust. The wise counsel of the text for going down life's pathway comes in the form of a command that is addressed to us tonight, beloved. It is addressed to you, Joel and Ryan. And the command has three parts, really the three verbs of the text. Trust, lean, acknowledge. And thus the substance of the sermon tonight will be explaining and applying these three verbs. Trust, lean, acknowledge. So we begin with the heart of the text. That well-known phrase, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What does that mean? To trust means to put your confidence in someone so that you rely on them entirely, so that you rest in the assurance that that person in whom you trust is willing and able to provide you, to provide you with safety, to provide you with security, to provide you with help, to satisfy the needs that you have in this life. To use the language of the text, to trust is to lean upon someone for support, to rely upon them, to depend upon them. When you trust in someone, you recognize that you, in and of yourself, do not have what it takes to face the challenges, the struggles, the difficulties of life and its circumstances by yourself. You need someone else to provide you with safety, security, to satisfy your needs. You're not self-sufficient. You depend on someone else. Whom do we put our trust in? Jehovah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust Jehovah. Put your confidence in Him. Rely entirely upon Him. Lean on Him. Throw your entire weight upon Him. Find your assurance of safety, security, and the provision of all of your needs in Him. That is trust. Indeed, the entire Christian life, our entire walk down life's pathway, can be summed up simply as that, trusting God. Our sanctification, our growth in grace, our advancement in the Christian life, it's simply the deepening and strengthening of our trust in God. Trust in the Lord. What sort of trust? With all thine heart, the text says. Wholehearted trust. Wholehearted trust means that you and I, beloved, trust God alone. Not only God alone, that we trust God alone with all that we are, with the entirety of our being. It means to cast ourselves entirely upon God and to entrust into God's hands every aspect, every area, every dimension of our lives. Wholehearted trust. Not partial, not half-hearted trust. That's a temptation, a very real temptation for us. Half-hearted trust is trusting in God in some areas of our life, but reserving other areas of our life for ourselves, trusting in ourselves in those areas. I'm capable. I'm self-sufficient. I don't need God here. Half-hearted trust is trusting God when life goes the way we want it to go. But then when it goes the way we don't want it to go, we murmur or rebel against God. Half-hearted trust, you see, is really heartless trust. And heartless trust is really no trust at all. It is distrust. Now, of course, there are times in our Christian lives, because on this side of glory we are still riddled with sins, there are times when our faith does not burn as brightly as it ought. There are times of weakness. That's why we need to hear the Word of God, to be strengthened by this means of grace, which feeds our faith. We need constantly to be strengthening in our faith so that we might have wholehearted trust in God, complete trust, exclusive trust, constant trust in no other but Jehovah. That's the heart of the text. We don't look to any other. You men don't look to any other than Jehovah for your safety, for your security, for the provision of your needs, for the guidance that you need going into the future. So there is rich application for you two men, as well as for all of us here. Even as this word comes to all of us, it comes especially to the young. Joel and Ryan, the Lord has brought you to this point. It's His work in you. He has brought you to this point where you have confessed your faith. You've publicly declared before family and friends that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and that you trust Him. You know that. You have experienced that. That is a reality in your life. You trust God. You trust Him for all of your salvation. You trust Him to provide for your needs. And that's the faith now that you must go forward, living wholeheartedly. Life's pathway stretches out before you. Your confession of faith is a significant milestone down life's pathway. There's a lot of distance to cover yet. It's only a beginning. The race of the Christian life is set before you, and there is so much that lies ahead on life's pathway. So many unknowns, so many obstacles that you will face, so many difficulties, for this life is difficult. The devil will be prowling around those twists and turns. He knows your faith. He knows who you are. He wants to destroy your faith, weaken your faith, tempt you to distrust the Lord you have confessed. How do you navigate this rocky road ahead of you? The text tells you, simply trust. Trust in the Lord wholeheartedly, with all that you are, completely, exclusively, constantly. Rest in Him. Trust. But now the text goes further. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here, the idea of trust is expanded and put in the negative. And the reason the text does this is it points out to us what our natural inclination is. This is the natural inclination of our hearts, whether we are young or old. It's not to trust God wholeheartedly, but half-heartedly. To trust God in part, but also to trust in our own understanding. And our own understanding then becomes one of the greatest opponents of our wholehearted trust in the Lord God. Our own understanding, what is that? It's our own intelligence. It's our own thought processes. It's our own insights. It refers to our own thinking. It refers to our own perception of life. It refers to our own reasoning, our own ideas, convictions, and expectations about the way life ought to be and how my life should go. It's what makes sense to us. It's what seems good to us. It's our own plans, our goals for the future, our expectations for how things ought to go as we travel down life's pathway. All of that is included there in that term, thine own understanding. In short, your understanding is how you envision your life, what it should be, and how it shall go. Lean not to thine own understanding. Lean literally means to put all your weight on something, to depend upon something for support. And this word in the original language creates a beautiful word picture for us. The noun that is derived from this verb here is the Hebrew word for a sturdy staff, a walking stick, a piece of wood upon which a man would lean, or a piece of wood that he would use to navigate a difficult path. And you see the picture there. Don't have your own understanding as the walking stick that you use to traverse life's pathway. That is not the means that you use to get around those twists and turns, to get safely over those rocky patches, to safely pass through the deep, dark, dangerous valleys. But the problem is, you and I by nature are very prone to take our own understanding and to think that's the best thing to get us through life. We want to trust ourselves rather than God. That's a particular temptation to us when we are young, when our bodies are strong and our minds are sharp. And it seems as though the whole world is ahead of us. All of life is ahead of us. Easily we rely on ourselves, trust in ourselves more than God, and we pursue our own vision of life rather than submitting to God and His will and His understanding. Thus we see to lean on one's own understanding, to put our weight on our own understanding, is to distrust God. Thus the command, trust with all thine heart, and don't give even a bit of your heart to your own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Because our understanding is so frail. Our perception of things are so clouded. We're creatures. We're limited, not only by space and time, but limited by our own experiences in the part of the world that the Lord has put us. We're limited by our creaturely limitations. But more than that, our understandings are clouded and darkened by our sinful flesh. We cannot of ourselves perceive things rightly. Our own understanding, if we are to lean upon it, is as a broken reed. It will break and pierce our hand. Thus, we need to not lean on our understanding, but trust in God. This is an application for you two men. As you go forward, trusting in God, what do you lean on? Upon whom do you throw all of your weight? God, His understanding. God's Word which reveals to you His purposes. God's Word which reveals to you His understanding, which is infinite, which is unsearchable, which is all wise. Lean on that. His Word, it's the rod and staff, your walking stick, as you go down life's pathway. As you make plans for the future, as you make decisions about work and career, about marriage, about church, all of those things, with the Word of God, it's the rod and staff in your hand. Lean on Him, not your own understanding. And this becomes so real. When you enter those parts of life's pathway where there are struggles, where there are hardships, where there are sufferings, where there are sorrows, and those will come. In those times, your understanding will not get you through. Your understanding is not enough. There will be times when the Lord will lead you through deep, dark valleys. And sometimes in the midst of those deep, dark valleys, it defies our understanding. We can't make sense of it. How is this good? How is God good? How could this be right? This is not the way my life was supposed to go. I can't see the good in it. I don't understand, we cry. If you're leaning on your own understanding, you'll be miserable. Lean on His understanding. Here your faith comes into play and is tested and is beautifully refined and strengthened. As in the midst of these dark valleys, you rest in Him even when you don't understand. You turn to God's Word, which reveals His understanding. You turn to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God speaks to us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's God's understanding. And thus in the deep, dark valleys, you turn to Him and you rest in that. And then you come to our text. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And your soul can have peace. You can say, I don't understand. I can't understand fully. But I trust Him, and I rest in Him, and that's all I need. Lean not unto thine own understanding. But even as you don't lean on your own understanding, seek to cultivate your understanding. It's God's will that all of our Christian life we're growing in grace and in knowledge and in understanding. Though the text commands us never to lean on our understanding, it does not command us not to seek understanding. We must seek biblical understanding from God's Word. And you will better be able to lean on God and His understanding, especially in those hard times. If you're in the Word, if you're reading it, you're meditating on it, digesting it, attending to the means of grace. By these things, God feeds your faith, strengthens you for those times of hardship. Grow, keep growing in wisdom and understanding. Chief mark of Jesus' disciples is that they are in the Word. Our Lord says in John 8, verse 31 and 32, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed? Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. We've seen the first two parts of the command. Trust, lean. We come to the third. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And what does this mean? Acknowledging the Lord in all your ways means acknowledging that He is sovereign and good to you every step of the way as you journey down life's pathway. Every step of the way, God is good, no matter what. And this acknowledging of God, this recognition of His sovereignty and His goodness, is not some cold academic assent to the fact that God is sovereign, but it's a personal, heartfelt confession that arises from the knowledge of faith. I believe, I know. Acknowledging the Lord in all your ways means knowing God as your God every step of the way down life's pathway, and recognizing that everything that you meet on life's pathway, God stands behind it. God has put it there, the good and the bad. And you trust, because you trust in Him and lean on His understanding, you trust that He will use it for good. And then you acknowledge Him. Thou art great, Thou art good, O God. Acknowledging Him in all of your ways, to recognizing He's in control. And it's saying, I'm glad He's in control. I don't want to be in control. There's one I want to be in control of my life, who knows how to guide me far better than I do. That's my God. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Life's pathway is made up of many different twisting trails. There are all sorts of ways There's the way that we walk in our home and in our family. There's the way we walk in the church. There's the way we walk when we go to the workplace and so many others. In all of these ways, acknowledge God. Whatever comes to you in those ways, see it as from Him and working for your good. There's an important application then here too for you men. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Make the God in whom you trust the all-controlling priority of your life as you walk down life's pathway. Let Him, in His word, in His will, be the determining factor in all of your decisions, in all that you do, where you live, what you do with your life. Don't do anything that takes you away from Him, that takes you away from knowing Him, that takes you away from His people. You need them for your journey down life's pathway. The Lone Ranger Christian is soon lost and falls off the path. You need the church, God's people. Make God and His Word your all-controlling priority. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. That is the command to wholehearted trust. And our God gives us reasons for wholehearted trust. The text calls us to trust God, but if you are to trust someone wholeheartedly, completely, constantly, there must be good reasons for that trust, firm grounds for such trust. The one in whom you trust must be trustworthy. The Lord, who commands us to trust in Him, He, yes, He alone is supremely trustworthy. And our God is supremely trustworthy simply because of who He is. Simply because of who He is. Is there any other like Him? Who can be compared to our God? He is Jehovah. He is the eternal, the changeless, the almighty, the incomparable, true and living God, the creator of heavens and earth, the sustainer of all things visible and invisible. He is God. He created us. He gave us life. Every breath we breathe, each second of every day as we walk down life's pathway, it comes from Him. He's placed us in this day and age. He's placed us in our families. He's placed us in the web of relationships that we have. He's placed us in this land. He's placed us in our church. He's placed us in all of the different circumstances in which we find ourselves. He is God. There's none like Him. He's uniquely, then, trustworthy. You can rely on Him as you go down life's pathway, as you encounter the difficulties on life's pathway. Even those difficulties that seem impossible to overcome. When we are weak, He is strong. Trust ye in the Lord forever, Isaiah 26 verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When we are weak for life's pathway, we need someone to trust, to depend on. Jehovah, He is everlasting strength. He's changeless in His strength. He does not grow weary. His arms do not grow slack. He is almighty and everlasting. You can cast all your weight, all of your cares upon Him. He will bear you up. When life seems constantly changing, unstable, chaotic, you don't know what to make of it, turn to the changeless God, the rock that is the same for eternity, who cannot be moved, whose purposes cannot be thwarted. Turn to His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a constantly changing world, in a life that can be chaotic, the God you trust, He is stable. He is your rock. He is your strong high tower. He is trustworthy. There's more than that. There's more than the mere fact that God is God, and that this God is eternal, changeless, almighty, incomparable in glory and power. There's even more than that. Indeed, there's that pressing question. What is God's relationship to me? What is His attitude to me? What difference does it make if the Almighty God is not for me? But our God is supremely trustworthy because He is for us. What is His name? How does He reveal Himself in the text? What words does He use? Not Almighty God, though that is what He is. Trust in the Lord, Jehovah. And you know that name so well. That's the name of covenant love. That's how He speaks to us. That's how He comes to us and says, trust in me. Trust in me as Jehovah, your covenant God. The God who has loved you from before the foundation of the world. The God who has chosen you to be my sons and daughters. The God who has given my own Son for your redemption. What a trustworthy God. He's eternal. He's changeless. He's almighty in His love, grace, and mercy to us. What a wonder that is. We don't deserve any of it. We don't deserve to be His friends, His children. We don't deserve to be called His sons and daughters. And yet He's made us that by grace. And in His eternal covenant faithfulness, His changeless covenant faithfulness, He maintains that bond of love and friendship He has established with us. How trustworthy our God. Trust Him. Joel, Ryan, trust Him. There's no one else like Him. There's no one else that can bear your burdens like Him. The good work He's begun in you, He will perfect. Trust in the author and the finisher of your faith. He is supremely trustworthy. But He's also supremely trustworthy because of what He's already done for you. He's accomplished your salvation. He's given Christ for you. He's reserved a home for you in everlasting life, which He has appointed as the destination, the end point of our earthly pilgrimage, so that we walk through this life, even through the dark valleys, knowing that at the end of life's pathway, there is everlasting life. He's provided for our everlasting security and safety. He's provided us a permanent inheritance. He's already done all of that. Who can we trust more? He's trustworthy for who He is. He's trustworthy for what He has done. So we see, do we not, when we understand who it is that we trust, there's great comfort in the way of wholeheartedly trusting in our supremely trustworthy God. And that comfort comes out in the promise that makes up the last phrase of verse 6 of our text. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. That's a promise. It's a promise to His children. It's a promise to those who trust in Him. He shall direct thy paths. And what this promise means in the first place is that God will be our guide who is with us each and every step of the way down life's pathway. He promises that. He is with us. He is with us by His Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. He is with us by His Word. He is with us by His almighty hand of providence that works all things for our good. Our God doesn't simply show us the way. He guides us, personally leads us down life's pathway. How else could the psalmist in joy exclaim in Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. All of life's pathway is right there in those verses. We are continually with God. He is continually with us. He holds us, as it were, by our hand and walks us down life's pathway. He guides us with His counsel which has determined the entirety of our lives. Afterward, He receives us into glory. Men, wherever life's pathway takes you, whatever twists and turns lie ahead, that's your comfort. Your right hand, God holds it. He's leading you to glory. There's no fear then. We have no reason to fear. We do not know what the future holds. The future from our perspective is so uncertain. What will happen? Where will I be? What lies down life's pathway? This can cause fear and anxiety and dread in us, but God knows, and God knows because He has marked out our paths for us. My life and all its perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. No need to fear. No need to dread the future. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Secondly, our comfort is this. In promising to direct our paths, God also promises to make life's pathway straight for us. That's the literal meaning of the phrase, and He shall direct thy paths. That word direct means straighten, smooth out. God promises He will straighten and smooth out our paths. Now this promise, of course, does not mean that life's pathway for the child of God is going to become an easy highway. We coast along and reach heaven. The Bible teaches the very opposite. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. This does not mean that God is going to take all the hardships out of our lives, remove all of the difficulties. It doesn't mean that He's going to straighten out every twist and turn that lies ahead on life's pathway. It doesn't mean He's going to fill up the deep valleys or widen the narrow straits. It doesn't mean He's going to remove the rocks and the obstacles from the path. What does He mean? It means that God shall make straight our paths through those things, through those hardships, through those difficult areas of life's pathway, through them. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2 capture this idea and express it so beautifully. The prophet says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And of course, this is a beautiful picture of God's spiritual leading of us. God does not give us detours around the floods, the fires, and the rocky places. He does not put out the fires always for us or cause the floods to flee away. That's not how He works. He is Jehovah who makes a path through the sea so that His people Israel walk through it on dry ground. He is the God who is there present with those three young men who confessed their faith in Babylon and were cast into the fiery furnace. He was there in the fire with them, and he brought them through the fire. That's how God works. That's how he makes straight our way in this life. He brings us through even the hardest parts of our earthly pilgrimage. He gets us through the deep, dark valleys. And though it's so hard and painful at the time, we will not be overflowed by the floods. The fire will not kindle upon us. He holds us by our right hand and guides us. Joel and Ryan, this Jehovah is with you. This Jehovah makes straight life's pathway ahead of you. You will pass through the waters. You will pass through the fires. You will pass through the dark valleys. And he will receive you to glory. Comfort. Trust him. And you know this for sure because the Lord whom you confessed came and walked this way for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ descended from everlasting glory, the perfect glory of heaven, and he took on our human flesh so that he could walk life's pathway, so that he'd be subject to every infirmity and pain and struggle that we experience in this life. And he walked down life's pathway. And because of our sins, there was no pathway for us. And so Christ walked the path of death for us, through the waters, through the fire of God's wrath, through death, through the grave, to the other side. That the fire of God's judgment may never kindle upon us. He opened the way through the grave to everlasting life. He has made straight our pathway through sin, through death, into heaven. He's already done that for you. Will he not guide you and keep you in the lesser things of this life? Beloved, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Lord God and Heavenly Father, difficult is this life, hard is our earthly pilgrimage, so often our faith is put to the test, thou knowest. Yet thou dost use all of these things for our good. We thank thee for thy word, which tells us this, which reveals to us thy love and kindness toward us, thy people. We pray that thou wilt guide us down life's pathway, that thou wilt, by thy almighty hand and by thy loving hand, bring us through the waters and the fires, through death itself, into life everlasting. Strengthen our faith for our pilgrimage. Strengthen the faith of those who have confessed their faith tonight, that wholeheartedly trusting in thee, they may go forward with comfort and joy, and glorify thee in their life's walk. Receive our prayer, Father, from lips sincere, in Jesus' name. Amen.